Can I get a witness in the house of God? Jesus, make it warm! That was totally free. Awesome. Hey, if you have a Bible, go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's where we're going to land today as we continue our challenge, the 40-day prayer challenge. Today is day 28 of these 40 days of prayer, and our goal is to simply encourage the habit of praying on a regular basis. And the good news is I'm getting all kinds of feedback of how this is affecting people. I got an email this week that said this. Listen closely. It says, this 40-day prayer challenge has been the most challenging, impactful, eye-opening, and life-changing sermon series. Thank you. I've already seen God do crazy things, and it's only halfway through. I'm expecting even greater things from God. Prayer will forever be a major part of my life. Would you give God praise for that? Isn't that great? If you're following along on the devotionals that we send out via email and text, if you're not getting those, you can the information on how to do that's in the bulletin. But if you're following along, you received this one yesterday. It said, if you want to kick the sin habit, you need to develop a prayer habit. Sometimes we don't make the connection between prayer and holiness, but the reality is prayer affects every other part of our life. This past week, we spent some time in Arizona. Just coincidentally, while you guys were digging out of Snowmageddon Part 3, we weren't. And one of the speakers at this conference challenged us. He even gave us all wristbands. It said, pray first. Pray about everything. Pray first before you do anything. And the reason is because prayer affects everything else. Now, there's no place where this is more true than in your family and in your relationships and at your house. And so today, the message is the family prayer circle. We want to talk about creating this habit of prayer as we work on building this habit of prayer, bringing that into your relationship, bringing it into your family. So what is a family prayer circle? Very simply, it's praying for and praying with your family. Everybody say praying for and praying with your family. So when I talk about a family prayer circle, that's what I'm talking about for the rest of the message. You've got some notes that you can follow along in your bulletin. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1, the people of God are they've left Egypt. They're about to enter the promised land. We've been to spend a lot of time talking about this portion of scripture or this season of the people of God in the Old Testament. Here's what God says to them. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. So God is saying, you just came out of Egypt. You're getting ready to go in the promised land. I've got some important instructions for you about your family. So listen up. Verse 2. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear Israel and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you're watching rightnowmedia.org. Oh, I'm sorry. That would be the modern day paraphrase. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. God is giving specific instructions to the people of Israel, very strategic instructions on how and why it's so important for them to, in their approach as far as their ministry to their kids. So I'm going to use these verses to paint a picture for you on why it's so important that we begin the habit of praying for and praying with our families. Here's the first reason. A family prayer circle invites Jesus into your house. I know that sounds simple, but it's so profound. If I pray with and for my family, I'm inviting Jesus into my house. Now, when I was growing up, my mom was very adamant about the fact that she wanted the peace of God in her home. She would testify to so many people, when you come to my house, I want you to sense the peace and the presence of God. And many people over the years found their way to our house when they were in trouble. Now, my parents were one of those people that whenever people were in trouble, they would call them. We had families of all sorts and kinds living with us over the years. I'll never forget one particular time. We came home, and there's this drunk man in my brother's bed. His cowboy boots are at the end of the bed. And the thing is, it's just, that wasn't, no big deal. Strays and ways and whoever. I mean, they always ended up at our house. I'll never forget one particular time. We had this family that was living with our house, and because her husband was abusing them. And so they stayed at our house, and one night this guy got drunk. And remember, we lived so deep in the woods, you had to go towards town to go hunting. I'm talking deep. You know, you didn't come to my house on accident. You came on purpose. This dude comes flying up the driveway, you know, like crazy, man. He's waving a gun. So my parents say, you know, get out of the house. And so we took all of their family, and I don't remember. I was probably 12, okay? Anyway, so we ran into the woods, and we hid, and we hear all this commotion, and my mom talked that dude down. You don't mess with my mom, by the way. I'm just saying, you just don't do it. I'll never forget. And one of the reasons I tell you that is because my parents were foster parents. And over the years, we had somewhere in the neighborhood of 25, 26 kids at our house, some for a few days, some for a few months, some for a few years, and some are still coming back. And one of the things that they'll tell you over the years is that they could sense the peace of God in our house. How many would like to have the peace of God in your house? When we pray with and for our families, we are putting out a welcome mat to the presence of God at our home. When we pray, we're inviting the Holy Spirit to come to our house. You say, where's that in the Bible? It's Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, where Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." So that means when I pray at my house, I am changing the atmosphere of my home. How many know when Jesus shows up, he changes the atmosphere? Now, your testimony may be today, well, my house is full of stress. My house is full of tension. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's health. Maybe it's all kinds of other reasons. You just feel the atmosphere at your house. Can I tell you that when you begin to pray together and for one another, you invite the presence of God into your house, and that begins to change the atmosphere. Some of you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I want Jesus to come to my house. My house is, how you say, less than perfect. Well, guess what? When you get saved and you give your life to Christ, you are inviting Jesus into your imperfect life. And he's the one that does the work of changing you. Isn't that good news? It's the same way at your house. When you pray with and for your family, you're simply inviting Jesus into your imperfect home. All the people with the perfect homes, please raise your hand. That's what I thought, because you should be the one up here preaching today if that's you, because mine's far from perfect. But how many know when we invite Jesus into our imperfect families, he changes the atmosphere? Will Davis Jr. wrote a book called Pray Big for Your Child. He said, prayer is the most effective tool a parent has. When teaching, discipline, and modeling fail, prayer succeeds. Prayer goes where a parent can't go. It softens hard hearts, enlightens darkened minds, and guides lost souls. Do a family prayer circle because it invites Jesus into your home. Number two, a family prayer circle secures your children's spiritual legacy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 2, this is the promise. Do all of these things, Deuteronomy says, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you. Deuteronomy says you got to create a family prayer circle. You got to make this a priority in your life so that you, your children, and your children's children will serve the Lord as long as you live. I mean, you would like that to be the reality at your house. Pastor, I want all my kids, I want my kids and their kids' kids to be faithful to God all the days of their life so that they will end up in heaven and hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't know that anybody here today would say, you know what, Pastor, my goal is to just see my kids spiritually fail. I want them to backslide. I want them to give up on God. That's not your goal at all. Sadly, depending on which study you read, somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 to 80% of kids who grow up in homes of evangelical Christians walk away from the faith after high school. Now, if I don't have your attention yet, I hope I've got it now. Because what that means is, in the area of perpetuating our faith, we get a big fat F, a big fat failure. According to one source, less than 10% of church-going families read the Bible together, pray together, or worship together in their home. So I've got a question. Do you think those statistics are related to each other? I think so. You say, why is it such a big deal? What do we do about this? Well, a few years ago, I participated in a master's degree program with Assemblies of God Theological Seminary. And one of the things that we had to do was to pick a topic for our final project to research and write about. And so I picked the topic of Junior Bible Quiz as an effective discipleship tool for children. And what we've, and the reason I picked this is because I had heard of a study where a church that had a Junior Bible Quiz program for a long period of time, he went back and checked in with all of the adults who were kids in the Junior Bible Quiz program, and he found that if they participated in at least 4 years of the program and their parents were involved in the process, 90% of them were still serving God as adults. Now, that got my attention, okay, because the way we've been doing it nationwide is failing. But for whatever reason, this program has a way of helping kids stay in the faith. Now, as I did my research and as I did surveys and I spent a lot of hours researching this, I found there's really two key components to perpetuating faith or helping kids develop faith for a lifetime. Are you ready? There's two reasons. Number one, there was intentional spiritual development taking place. Parents talking to their kids about the Word of God. And the second big component of this is because parents were involved in the process. Okay, so Junior Bible Quiz parents, let me help you out. It is not the goal of the program here at our church. We have Junior Bible Quiz at our church. We think it's a big deal. The goal, though, is not for you to drop your kids off and let John and Lori and all of the other leaders do Junior Bible Quiz with your kids. The goal of the program is for you and your kids to go home and talk about these scriptures and talk about these Bible doctrines so that you begin to initiate these conversations about faith at your house, all right? And I'm gonna tell you, if you don't already have a strategy for developing your kids, Junior Bible Quiz is a great option. I wanna encourage you to make it a priority in your life. Now, what that means is, this is a very simple principle. God's plan to perpetuate faith in your children and your children's children is, are you ready for the secret? God's plan is for parents to take the lead role in the intentional spiritual development of their kids. Far too often, we think the church is going to do this. Well, the children's pastor is going to do this, or the youth pastor is going to do this. Listen to me. They can't do it. It's impossible. The number one key in perpetuating faith is parents. And so if you do it, God will keep his promise. Now, how many know America may be the only culture who's bought into the lie that we should allow our kids to choose whatever they want to believe as they grow up? What do Muslim families do? They raise their children to be Muslims. What do Buddhist families do? They raise their kids to be Buddhists. And for whatever reason, in our progressive society, we think somehow it's wrong to teach our kids biblical principles and biblical doctrine, because after all, they should choose for themselves. You are nuts. Amen. Parents are to take the lead role in the spiritual development of your children. That's the plan. That's what Deuteronomy 6 is saying. You take the lead. Now, we know that there's no foolproof plan, right? There's no 100% strategy, because every child has a will of their own. They have to choose. But there are some things that we can do to help the process. Come on, somebody. You say, Pastor, why are parents such a big deal in this process? Get this principle. This is so big. Parents have spiritual authority over their kids. I want that to sink in, because some of you you've either forgotten that or you've never heard that. Parents have spiritual authority over their kids. Now, they may act like hellions and they may act like nobody can tell me what to do. Guess what? You still have authority in the spiritual realm over their lives. And so we need to use that authority for good. I love what Mark Batterson wrote in his book, Praying Circles Around Your Children. He says, prayer turns ordinary parents into prophets who shape the destinies of their children, grandchildren, and every generation that follows. Oh, I love this. So when you pray for your children, do you know what's happening? You're becoming a prophet to them. You're prophesying into their life. We talk about being a priest of your home or the spiritual leader of your home. How about being a prophet in your home and begin to speak life into their lives by the gospel of Jesus Christ? So I pray that they'll make right friends and right choices. I pray that their conscience will keep them on the straight and narrow. I pray that they won't just survive in this life, but they'll thrive through the name of Jesus Christ in this world. Come on, somebody. Your prayers can become prophecies. And so God has given us as parents the opportunity to help write the future of our family with prayer. Psalm 103, verse 17, look at this. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. That scripture means that you can prophesy to your children, and you can start prophesying to your children's children. Oh, man. You're not near as excited about this as I am. I am just, must be the two cups of coffee I had at Connection Central, but I'm excited. What that means is we can picture a perfect future for our kids and begin to pray it into their lives. I pray that they'll be blessed with every spiritual blessing. I pray that God will give them favor with God and man. I pray that they'll serve the Lord all the days of their life, and God would keep them unspotted from the world. Are you getting this? I begin to pray prophetic prayers into their life. In your notes this morning in the bulletin, I've given you 31 biblical virtues to pray for your kids. You may want to make that part of your prayer strategy from this day forward and begin to pray those things into your kids' life. Because when you pray, listen to me closely, when you pray for your kids, you change the trajectory of your children's future. When you pray for your kids, you change the trajectory of your children's future. They may be going this way right now, but give me a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa who pray, and you're going to begin to change the trajectory of their future. Come on, somebody. Say amen if you believe that's true. Stormy O'Martian wrote this in her book called Power of a Praying Parent. She said, if you are not covering your children every day in prayer, you are leaving their lives to chance. I'm pausing on purpose because I want you to think about that. We need to get beyond hope so, maybe so. Boy, I sure hope they, no. God has given us authority to pray. So let's take it and use it and secure the spiritual legacy of our kids. Third reason to have a family prayer circle is that it preserves your commitments. It preserves our commitments to each other. How many know family is about commitment? Oh, don't shout me down now. Family is about commitment. Anybody ever heard the phrase, a face only a mother could love? That's called commitment, right? Now, most of us are familiar with this statistic because it's repeated ad nauseum that half of marriages in our nation end in divorce. And some people go on to quote misleading statistics that say that the divorce rate is the same for Christians. Well, that's actually not true. But because we live in a culture of soundbite theology, we just kind of keep repeating the same mantras over and over, and we just accept them as true. The reality is, yes, it's the same rate for those who identify themselves as Christian, but for those who attend church on a regular basis, the divorce rate is 29%. That's a little bit lower than 50, but how many know it's still too high? Just another reminder that just because somebody says statistics say, you may want to look a little closer. 29% is still too high. So according to several sources who have studied this phenomenon, including the Southern Baptists, the Catholics, and the National Associated of Marriage Enhancement, which is a ministry in our church we call NAME, they found that if a married couple prays together on a regular basis, as little as 5 minutes per day, the divorce rate is less than 1%. In fact, the NAME study found that it's one out of 1,500 and some, which comes to this percentage, 0.001%. So guess what? If you'll build a family altar and you'll pray with your spouse, just on a regular basis, you have statistically eliminated divorce from your future. Now, please hear me when I say that's no condemnation on anybody who's experienced divorce. But how many, I've learned over the years that the people who are adamant about helping the next generation build futures for their lives, they're saying, hey, we want to encourage you to build strong families. Can I get a witness in the house of God? 0.001%. Why is that? You may have heard me say this over the last few weeks. Prayer affects everything else in your life. That's why it has to become a priority. That's why this challenge is such a big deal. This is why 5 weeks later, I'm still preaching about it. I shared a testimony a few weeks ago how a couple in our church were taking this prayer challenge, and they were praying together every day. And the testimony came back that they felt like they were on a second honeymoon. Amazing how that works. Prayer affects your relationships. Prayer affects your marriage. For some reason, it affects your emotional intimacy, your ability to deal with conflict, your physical intimacy, your ability to communicate. So the question is, why don't we do that? Why don't we pray with our spouses? Well, I think it's because we probably don't realize how big a deal it is, how important it is. Most people acknowledge that prayer is very important to do, but we just fail to make it a habit. And this is why we're doing what we're doing. Come on, somebody. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 puts it this way. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. What does that mean about marriage and relationships? Well, the Bible says that the husband is the one strand, the wife is the other strand. Who's the third strand? It's God. So when I'm praying for my spouse, I'm inviting God to be part of this relationship. And the Bible says that cord of three strands is not easily broken. Isn't that good news? And all you got to do is pray. Now, I love 11:15 service, because I can just elaborate. Some of you are like, what time does that first service start? If somebody comes to my office and they're in trouble in their relationships, and it happens, I think every relationship's been in trouble at some point, okay? So nobody's casting stones. But one of the very first things, I'll hear them and listen to them, and one of the very first things I'll have them do is to pray for each other. Now, many of them have never done that. And some of them are like, and for whatever reason, ladies pray better than guys. I'm not saying that's a spiritual fact. It's just an observation. Maybe it's because ladies can talk better than guys. I've read that somewhere about the number of words or whatever. But I want to challenge you, because what I have found over the years, as they do that, the atmosphere changes in the room immediately. Before there was tension and stress, something begins to change. And here's the good news, guys. You don't have to pray flowery, perfect prayers. Ladies, you don't pray condemning prayers. God, I wish you'd be more like so-and-so. Now, let me just take a real side. That's called witchcraft. That's manipulation. You don't use prayer to beat your husband or your wife over the head. When you do this, you say, God, I thank you for my spouse. And then I pray a blessing on him. It's really that simple. And your life will change. I said your home will change. It'll help you keep your commitments. You may have heard somebody put it this way. The family that prays together. It's true. Now, here's the last one. I wanted to spend less time on the why and a little bit more time on the how, because this could easily come across to some as a condemning message. or a guilt trip message. And I've grown up in the church. I've been on the receiving end of these. And so I'm like, Lord, show me how to paint this picture of vision of why this is so important rather than it being condemning or some sort of guilt trip, because that is not the goal at all. So that brings me to the last one, number four. The only thing that is required to do a family prayer circle is your willingness. It only requires willingness. It does not require a degree in the Bible. It does not require fantastic spiritual maturity. Nowhere in the book of Deuteronomy does it say, now wait until you receive training before you impress this upon your children, before you talk about it when you get up and when you go to bed. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that. That's why there's no supporting verse in this point of your message. It's not there. All you have to do is be willing. I read a story this week about Susanna Wesley. You may not know who she is, but you're about to have great sympathy for her because she gave birth to 19 children. And we all just nod. Two of her children were John and Charles Wesley. You may have heard of them. They founded the Methodist Church. Now, when you have 19 kids, there's probably no finding a quiet place to pray. If you've seen the reality show, 19 Kids and Counting, I mean, just picture that without all the stuff. But history says that she would sit in her rocking chair in the middle of the living room, put a blanket over herself. That's one way to do it. And intercede for her kids. I share that with you to say, you can do it. You can do this. There's a lot of reasons why you can't, and the enemy will be right there to say, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't do that. But please don't listen to that voice. Listen to the voice of God saying, you can do this. The enemy will be right there to condemn you, say, you're a hypocrite, blah, blah, blah. Tell him to shut his face, because the scripture says that the enemy is a liar, right? That is not God's voice saying, you're a hypocrite, you shouldn't pray. That is not God's voice. You should pray. And just do it. You can do this. Now, I know it's hard to find a consistent time and place to pray, but how many know where there's a will, there's a way? Now, I think one of the reasons that people fail to try family prayer is they feel like they will be a failure. I'm just going to fail. If I don't want to start something I can't finish. Okay, just consider that knocked off as an excuse. Just try it. Now, in case you're feeling that way, let me give you some company. Mark Batterson wrote a book called Praying Circles Around Your Children. And remember, he wrote The Circle Maker. We're using it in small groups. Let me let you hear his confession. He says, the most important 10 minutes of my day are the 10 minutes I spend with my kids right before school. But for many years, I felt like a failure when it came to family devotions. So guess what? You're not alone. You can be a pastor and feel like a failure when it comes to family devotions. You can write a book about prayer that thousands of people read and still feel like a failure when it comes to family devotion. So go ahead and say, I'm not alone. When you invite Jesus in, how many know he's gonna help you? When you pray, you're gonna invite the Spirit of God in, he's gonna help you do this. Stormy O'Martian wrote the book, Power of a Praying Parent. She said, I learned I don't have to be a perfect parent. I just had to be a praying parent. And get that in your spirit. You don't have to be perfect to do this. You just have to pray. Just pray. You're probably gonna miss a few days if you start. You're probably gonna have some resistance if you start. Some of you with teenagers, you're gonna say, hey, we're gonna get together and pray. And their eyes are gonna roll so far back in their head. You know, they may never come back. You know, and like death is coming up on them. We're gonna what? You know, some of you are married to people and they'll resist it. Do it anyway. Do it anyway. Just do it. Because it's not a matter of if you can, it's a matter of if you will. Because it's too important not to do. I said it's too important not to do. If we go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, there are some promises there, what will happen if we do this. I want you to look at this. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God says, if you take the spiritual if you take the lead in your family spiritual development, here's what's going to happen to your kids. Verse 2 says, they'll fear God as long as you live. Well, I like that promise. Verse 2 says, they'll have a long life. Verse 3 says, it will go well with them. Oh, man, you got my attention again. You know, some people will say, Pastor, I just don't want my kids to repeat the same mistakes that I made. Guess what happens when you pray? God begins to break generational curses off of them, right? And instead of it going bad for them, it will go well with them. Verse 3 says they'll increase greatly. The New Century Version puts it this way, you will become a great nation in a fertile land. That means prosperity, blessings, productivity, success. Verse 3, the Bible says the Lord your God will bring you into the land he promised. That means that God will manifest his promises into your kids and your kids' kids' lives. And what happened is you just changed the trajectory of your child's future. You just ensured curses will be broken off of them. Now, let me just pause right here for a second and encourage those of you that have children that aren't serving God right now, but you raise them in the church. Today is not the day that I'm trying to heap a load of guilt on you. But I want to tell you this. I want to give you a promise from heaven. Are you ready? It's not over. I said it's not over. Because you have spiritual authority over their lives because you're their mom and dad. You use it. And you pray like a crazy woman. Come on, somebody. Right? Because when you do that, you change your kids' lives. Even after they're grown. Amen? And you can change the world. This will change the world. Watch this video.
Where does this love begin? In our own family, in our own home. How does it begin? By praying together. Family that prays together stays together. And if you stay together, you will love one another as God loves each one of you. Today, in the world, there's so much suffering because of that one of prayer, of unity in the family. So today, when we are together, let us make one strong resolution that we will bring prayer in our family, that we will teach our children to pray and pray with them. And you will see the joy and the love and the peace that will come into your hearts. Because the fruit of prayer is the deepening of faith. And the fruit of faith is love. And the fruit of love is service. And the fruit of service is peace. Works of love are works of peace. That is why let us bring the tender love of God in our families.
I want to spend the last 10 minutes of this message talking about the how or some ideas on how this might work at your house. Well, on the back of your notes, there's some questions and a place for you to write some things down. The first question is, how long should a family prayer circle last or a family devotion? And the answer is, don't focus on time because time is not the issue. How many know 2 minutes is better than 0 minutes? Right? 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You heard the author of Praying Circles Around Your Kids say it's 10 minutes a day. It's not about the amount of time. It's about the fact that you are doing it. Second question, how often should I do this? Well, Deuteronomy paints a picture of something every day, and taking on a lifestyle at your house of this. And so I would encourage you that it reminds us that it's supposed to be much more of a lifestyle than a rigid ceremony. Okay? And so the answer to this question is, as often as you can. How often should I do this? As often as you can. You know, if you can do it every day, that's great. It takes a while to build that habit. But if it's once a week, that's better than zero times a week, right? Or maybe on weekdays or however you want to call it, as often as you can. What should it look like? And there's where I want to spend the most amount of my time. What could this look like at your house? Well, a couple ideas. Perhaps you approach this like you would a small group. We have small groups in our church, over 40 of them. They meet in different people's houses. We have small group leaders that lead them in their time of ministry. Maybe you should treat your family like a small group. What a novel idea. And, you know, we pick curriculum, we watch stuff, we read stuff, and we ask questions, and then we pray together. How many know there's no more important small group than your family? Right? Right now, media, what we just showed you, the reason we chose to do that today is because this is a great resource to try to use in times just like this. How many know you could use video? One of the things that I think intimidates people from doing this is like, I don't know what to say. I can't teach the Bible. Guess what? Can you press play? Click. Right? You got 2,000 videos at your fingertips. Today, if you take that email from Pastor Jason and say, yes, count me in. I want to be part of Right Now Media and start to go through all of that. We've already introduced this to our leaders. Some leaders say, hey, I'm already doing this as part of my regular Bible study and devotion. So use video. How about texting? One of the keys to prayer is speaking in a language your kids can understand. And your kids understand the language of texting. If their native language is texting, then send text to them, right? Maybe one a day or once every other day or just whenever you can. It can be a scripture. It can be a prayer that you prayed for them. I was talking to a pastor in Dallas a few months ago. He literally, he set a set of period of time where he videotaped himself on his iPhone talking to his family, talking to his kids, and praying for them. He prayed a prayer for them on video and then texted it to them, emailed it to them so they could watch it every day. There's no limit to this if you'll use your imagination and let God lead you. Another way to do it is using devotionals. Now, how many know there are thousands of devotionals that you can use? I've listed some on the back of your outline there in your notes. But there are all kinds of devotionals that you can use as a family. You don't have to make up your own stuff. Some of you are like, Pastor, I'm going to write my own stuff. God bless you. But there's plenty of stuff out there that you can use as a devotional. Purpose-driven life is a 40-day devotional. Guess what? You can read it together as a family. Take turns reading it. There's questions and prayer time, right? However you want to do it. Junior Bible quiz is another thing. Is another way that this could that devotionals could look like at your house, because the value and the impact of Junior Bible quiz is the parent-child interaction. Okay, so maybe you take those questions and you're talking to them about doctrine, about Bible answers, and you turn that into a conversation and then pray. Now, let me give you an illustration. Both of my boys are out of Junior Bible Quiz. We absolutely loved it. One particular time, we're driving to the state meet, which we were just a little ate up about. We just, you know, whatever. But we took it seriously. On our way there, I'm driving, and my son Elliot is in the front seat. He's much younger. I think he was too young to be in the program at that time. My son Braden was in the back seat with Tracy, and they're going through these questions. And one of the questions was, what is heaven? And Elliot said, I forget exactly what he said, something to the effect of, what is heaven? Who goes to heaven? And I just kind of waited. And Braden from the back seat explains the gospel of Jesus Christ, who goes to heaven, who goes to hell, and how to get saved. I don't remember how old he was. He was probably 10, 11. And I'm just driving to Lafayette, tears rolling down my face. Because he explained it way better than I could. Me and all my preacher talk. He explained it in a language that his brother could understand. Where did he learn all that? He learned it in Junior Bible Quiz. Amen. Are you getting this? When are we signing up, Lori? Where's Lori? John and Lori, stand up. If you want to get more information about Junior Bible Quiz, see that lady right there. And you ought to give her a big, fat thank you for leading our program. Did you know, I know this is shocking, there are apps on your phone and your tablet and whatever it is you look at 22 hours a day, that you can do family devotions. Again, on the back of your outline, I've listed about 8 or 9 or 10 that you can use. And there are many more than that. Use technology to help you in doing this. All right? So don't put any limits on it. Now, one of the challenges of family prayer, Mark Batterson wrote, is that we finding a consistent time and place to pray together. It's not easy when your kids are playing soccer, taking piano lessons, participating in a school club, or taking swim lessons. And that's probably just one of your children. And everybody said amen. But parents, let me ask you a question. Go ahead and tuck your toes underneath your seats. What really matters? The fact that they make that travel team? Or the fact that they make a little side money? Or the fact, you name it, 1,000 things we invest our time in. I'm not saying those things are bad. But let's move this higher up on the priority list and make it happen. Maybe you can turn your commute to work or into a prayer time for your family. Maybe when you're making your kids' beds or fold their clothes, that didn't make sense at my house because my kids have to do that. No response. God bless them. All right. Maybe when you're packing their lunches, you can pray for them, right? Maybe you go into their rooms while they're sleeping. Lay your hand on their head. You want to do it quietly because you don't want to scare them half to death, but pray God would bless them. Pray with them before bedtime, maybe at the dinner table. There's 1,000 different ways. Matter of fact, I would just encourage you just to either do one of two things. Number one, pray. Say, God, when's a good time? And number two, talk to your family. When's a good time we can do this? See what happens. Now we're going to close with prayer in just a moment, but let me flesh this out for everybody in the room. Hopefully everybody in the room. Some of you young adults are sitting here today and you're saying, you know, Pastor, no kids yet. Maybe you plan to get married at some point in your life. So I would encourage you to make whoever that person is a part of your prayer life and pray, God, prepare me, prepare them for the day, the moment, the destiny that you've called us to. Perhaps you should pray about who you date. That was totally free. Single moms, single dads. I know when you hear a message like this, some of you can be hearing one more thing I have to do. Because you carry such a huge weight. So it's like you never get time to breathe. And I know this sounds like, you know, wow, it's just one more thing. One more guilt trip. Something I'm not doing. And that is not the heart of this at all. Can I encourage you that making this a priority will actually alleviate a lot of the pressure that you have, single parents? If you're an empty nester, say, Pastor, my kids have flown the coop. I'm free. Well, let me ask you a question. When do you exactly stop praying for your kids? I doubt you ever do. So pray for them, even when they're grown men and women, and pray for them. If you're here and you're a grandparent, can I challenge you that one of the greatest impacts a grandma or a grandpa or a papaw or a doodad or whatever you call your grandparents, meemaw, all the Kentuckians said papaw and meemaw. Come on, Kentuckians. Or whatever name you make up. Nana, Poppy. Yeah, let's keep going. Pappy, yeah. I've got a brother whose grandkids call him Pappy. I'm like, really? And you're okay with that? Parents, grandparents, one of the greatest impacts you can have is to become a prayer warrior for your grandkids. How many stories have you heard in your lifetime of a praying grandma or praying grandpa whose prayers changed their lives? I want to challenge you. Your ministry is not over. Just because you're at a certain age or a certain season of life, do not think that God is done with you. He is far from done with you. He is calling you to be a prayer warrior for your families, for your kids, for your children's children and their children's children. Come on, somebody, and pray, because your prayers will outlive you. Your prayers will outlive you. Stand with me today as we close in prayer. This morning, I do have a challenge for you. Are you ready? Challenge? We've been doing 40 days of this challenge. Well, I've got a challenge for you specifically for today, because how many know the first time you do this is the hardest? You're really, the first time you do anything is the hardest thing to do. And so here's the challenge. Before you go to sleep tonight, gather up everybody who lives at your house and just pray together. It may be 60 seconds, it may be 10 minutes, it may be longer than that. Don't worry about the amount of time. Just do it. Just do it today. Before you go to sleep tonight, gather up everybody at your house and let's pray. And what will happen is you will have invited Jesus into your house. You will have taken a step to secure the spiritual legacy of your children. The Spirit of God will come into you and help you keep the commitments that you've made. And God will keep all of the promises that He made in Deuteronomy chapter 6, because my Bible says, with God, all things are possible. Will you do it today? I'm tempted to ask you to raise your hand, 1, 2, 3, just like getting saved, but I'm not going to. It has to be in your heart, okay? I challenge you. It's not going to be perfect. And please, I don't want you to think that, well, Pastor Wayne, he's a pastor, he's so perfect. Ask my boys. This goes far from perfect at our house. The key is just do it. Just do it. And trust God with the results. Amen? Would you stretch your hands toward me? In the name of Jesus Christ, may you be blessed. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. May you have courage to lead your family. May God's Spirit give you boldness to pray prophetic prayers over your house. And may every child, every family member in your household find Jesus and serve Him all the days of their life. May the promises of Deuteronomy chapter 6 be upon your children and your children's children. I bless you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen. Before you leave today, consider giving an offering for The Well. We're going to dig in Kenya with the missions trip this summer. If you're a guest, we'd like to meet you in Connection Central. Have a great day. In Jesus Christ, we love you.